Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, your favorite time of day each week. Hopefully that is my show. Is your head on straight? You don't think this is a show about you, because of course your head is on straight. Well, that's kind of the paradigm here. If you've been hit in the head, if you suffer from anxiety, depression, tooth decay, root canals, high blood pressure, you name it, you have to ask yourself, is your head on straight? And there's a reason, and I'll explain it to you. And there's an exercise, there's a way of being. Just like you take a shower in the morning, there's a way of being whereby each and every day you're going to do something to make sure your head's on straight. Aha, you don't think like that, do you? You will by the time the show is over today. Get to the website. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com with two T's. I don't know how you guys do it. You tell me you can do this show without the pictures. I don't even understand that. Please, get to the website so you can follow the pictures. Pictures say everything. Is your head on straight? What head am I talking about? All right, let's start. Let's go to picture number four. Pick good old picture number four here. Again, you're on the shows. Now take a look at that. That is the back of your head. That picture is a picture of the back of your head. And we've stripped off almost all the muscles. Those things in the red, in case you didn't know, are muscles. What is that weird looking thing down the center of your neck there? Again, this is the back of your neck, all right? So your face is on the other side of your computer. The back of your head, that white thing, it looks like taffy. It is taffy. That's snotty, tight, scarred up, fibrotic connective tissue. And it's in all of us. We're going to get to that later. But right now, I just want you to know, you're looking at the back of your head, and all those red things are the muscles, except that's not really reality. Let me show you reality. Go to picture number 12. Picture number 12. Now there's the back of your head. When you skin somebody, you skin off the skin, that picture there, that back of that person's head, this is picture 12 now. Take a look at that on the left side. That's what it really looks like. And the point is, when you contrast picture number 12 on the left side, picture number 12 on the right side, and then bring that all the way up to picture number 4, you're getting a distinct understanding that the muscles in the back of the neck are layered. They're layered. So what layer can you stretch? What layer can you access? What layer is damaged? And what layer can you give therapy to? You stretch your neck, you adjust your neck, you massage your neck. You do all these things to help. You put clays on and castor oil packs. You do all sorts of exercises. The point is that you have to understand, layperson, that when you talk about the neck and the joints of the upper cervical spine, which are going to get whacked out of place when your head gets hit, for all of us, not for the guy that's been in a bad car accident, not for someone that's rolled his truck down the side of a 100-foot slope. No, you're talking about in the normal day-to-day of human existence. that head is consistently thrown off the axis of the first and second cervical vertebra. So look at the most common reason that you've got the problem. And you do if you don't understand what I'm talking about. Go to picture 24. Picture 24. There. This always amazes me. You know, I take these things for granted. I've been doing this 25 years. This is all second nature to me. But when I really sit back and I do the show, what I realize is, oh my God. The real issue here is that everything's sitting right at the end of our nose, and we're too busy looking everywhere else. And you spin and you spin and you spin and you spin. If I was going to write one book, it would be Stop Spinning and Start Healing. Now, don't steal that, you doctors that listen to this show. Stop spinning and start healing. Because honestly, that is the enemy. You spin. And here's a classic example. Right here in this picture, picture number 24, look at that. That's you on the left on your wedding day, and that's you on your right at 70 or 80. That's you in the middle there at 40 or 50. That simple shift in the position of your head on that neck accounts for a lot of your problems, your symptoms, your diseases, your concerns, your whole reality. And it's that simple. So don't do that. Now, there it is in a nutshell. A massive amount of all human disease, disorientation, distaste, anxiety, you name it, occurs because the head shifts like that. As you age then, 12 pounds, 32 pounds, 42 pounds, you're looking at picture 24. As you age then, what we call normal aging, anterior head carriage, means your head is not on straight. Done deal. Goodbye. We'll see you next week. Too easy, right? It's too simple. It's just too simple. You have no idea. Believe me, you have no idea what it's like when you take somebody, say the guy in the middle, and you push his head back over a period of time. Treatments, exercises, stretches. Not the stretches you learn on the videos. Not the massages you get at the local health club. The real stuff. The therapeutic stuff. I'll touch on it today. But I want to leave you at least, minimum, with an understanding that when you talk about disease, symptomology, there are concepts right on the tip of our nose we don't look at. And one is your head on straight? And whether you've had a head trauma, a rollover in a truck or not, a football accident, knocked unconscious, whatever, whether you've had that or not, just the fact that you look like your head's come forward over a period of years warrants your concern. So really, a relationship of the head on your neck, a relationship, a language, a relationship where you listen to that. What am I talking about? Listening to whether your head's on your neck. You got to go into a practice. Now, what's a practice? If you stretch, that's a practice. If you exercise, that's a practice. If you pray, that's a practice. If you get massage, that's a practice. You do have a health practice. You do, especially if you listen to this show, if you get through this show, you're interested in developing a health practice. You're interested in spending time, money, and energy in the most cost-effective way, the least investment for the most return, which means education, because you have to have skill and intelligence to design your program. So what this show is effectively, it's a home study course for people who want the inside track. And I have people all over the United States now. I have people all over the world who do this. They get this. Because I don't think this stuff is so difficult. I think our attitude, unfortunately, I don't criticize this, but I think generally our attitude towards how we approach health stinks. And if you think I'm talking about MD medicine, forget it. I have nothing bad to say about MD medicine, in a sense. I mean, in a sense. I'm talking about how we approach our health in the terms of holistic medicine. we've taught the public to come in and depend on us. And although we talk this rant of you do it yourself, you assume responsibility, the bottom line is we have to drive home in the public that it's mandatory if you're in chronic illness. You have to learn it yourself. But you have to get educated. You see, what a lot of people do, and I want to make this point, we've got some real hard heads out there. What a lot of people do is go, I'm going to learn it myself. And you don't seek counsel. And you don't give the art of things their respect. I'm going to talk about stretching today as one means in which you adjust your head on your neck. And there's no law against stretching your neck. But the return on it is massive. And yet, I have people all the time say, oh, I just saw the video. And that's what I mean. You're not giving the full birth of respect to the art of these things. Exercise is an art. Stretching is an art. Isolation is an art. I'm going to do so. I didn't even know I was going to do this today. So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take you to the bottom of this page. Again, if you're new to the show, put on your seatbelt. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc, 2ts.cc. Please get into the computer age. I can't even believe I'm saying this. This show is so much better for you if you look at the pictures. Go to the bottom of the page and look at this guy, this YouTube clip we put on here. I want you to watch this YouTube clip. Just turn it on and watch it. A moment of silence. Just watch this YouTube clip. I'm going to shut him up on my end here. Now, what I want you to do, you're watching this clip, I want you to move that ball there, move it to like the middle. There you go. Move it to about 30 seconds in. Move it to like 40 seconds in. Move it to 40 seconds in. All right? And I want you to watch this kid. This guy's a dancer, he's a break dancer. He's doing it in isolation. Now watch his neck. Watch that neck. God bless him. Look at that neck. Look at that neck. Watch his neck. You're at about a minute now. Look at the sway in that neck. Look at that. That's astounding. Look at the sway in that neck. You're at a minute five, a minute 10, a minute 15. Look at the sway in that neck. Now he's putting it all around. He's a break dancer. He's teaching isolations. Let me ask you a question. Do you think you can do that? If somebody says stretch your neck, do you understand that until you get to those sorts of levels, you're not going to really get a return on the stretch? And this is what I mean. These simple things go so deep that we overlook and we don't give the full respect. So when we talk about the head on the neck and the symptomology that derives from when the head is not on the neck, and we say things like, stretch your neck, you, the public, understand it on very superficial levels because you don't give it its full girth. We haven't focused on the art of simple things. And there on the bottom of that page, which you just saw that teacher do, he's a teacher. He teaches breakdancing. And if you look at the way he sways and isolates at that level, you're getting a return. It's incomparable in its significance. You're getting a return on your investment in the time, money, and energy it might take to learn something like that. That's called an isolation. When we say stretch the muscles of the neck, we don't mean stretch them like in a simple sense of the word. We mean learn to isolate. Now, why do you have to learn to isolate versus stretch? Here's the thing. Go back to picture four. Boy, you know, I did this show. I put this show together in about an hour and 15 minutes today. And I had no idea we were going to do it this way. Unbelievable. Well, that's what's exciting, right? You shoot from the hip. That's the art of the deal. You don't need one of those teleprompters to do a show or write a show. I don't even understand that. Write a show? Are you kidding me? Look at picture number four. look at picture number 4. Now there. Before you're going to be able to do what that young man was doing, you are going to have to stretch deeply enough into your muscular system. But that muscular system is layered, right? It's layered. And until you can stretch deeply enough into the muscular system to where the muscle meets the bone, you're not going to be able to do what you saw him do. And if you don't do that, you're not going to be able to stretch the joints. And if you stretch your neck, and I'm going to give you some great reasons that you must stretch your neck. If you're not going to stretch your neck to where the muscle meets the bone, something you can appreciate because you know the layeredness of the human body. You just don't see a hunk of muscles on a bone. You understand it's multiple layers. You got 4 or 5 layers of muscle, of tendon, of fascia, of nerve, connective tissue in all. And until you can do what you saw that guy do, you're not really moving and separating the bones. If you don't get your stretch to the bone, you're not doing a lot. You're really not. In fact, I'm going to just say this. I don't like to make absolutes. You're not doing anything. When you stretch, if you can't take the stretch to where the muscle meets the bone, you're not doing anything. And how do you know when the muscle meets the bone? How do you know when you stretch to where the muscle meets the bone? How do you know if you're doing it? You're doing it to the point where the muscle meets the bone. I'm not going to tell you yet. I want my listeners to think about that. You who listen to the show regularly. 4 years of shows. 220-something shows. How do you know when you stretch it efficiently to where the joints are moving? Yeah, I know what you're thinking. I'm not going to tell anybody else yet. You think about that. Now, let's get back. Let's get back to the point here. Go to picture number 1. There's the back of your head, the occiput. That's a bone of the skull, the occipital bone. It sits on top of the atlas. It sits on top of the axis. First and second cervical vertebra. Those three spaces, those three bones, and those two joint spaces, occiput C1, C1, C2, they have to have motion between them. Go to picture number 2. Picture number 2. There's the first cervical vertebra and the second cervical vertebra. All we've done is take off that big fat head. In between the big fat head and the top of that C1. You see in C1, you're looking at picture number 2 now. You're looking at picture number 2. You're looking at that bone that says C1. What is that little, like, finger sticking up there? That's called the odontoid process. That little finger thing sticking up there. It's not quite relevant to the show, but just so you know, in case you're wondering what the heck that weird looking thing is. Body's fascinating. I've done 100-something dissections. It's absolutely fascinating. You can get lost in there your whole life. Better than sitting on the freeway in traffic, which is where most of us spend a quarter of our life. Think about that. Look at C1 there. Look at those grooves. Those depressions in the top of C1. That's where your skull sits. And then C1 fits on C2. Those are called facet joints. F-A-C-E-T. Facet joints. That's what those chiropractors crack. When you move C1 away from your big fat head, when C1 moves off your big fat head, that sound is gaseous bubbles coalescing and popping that indicate that you've literally moved one bone away from another. So think of all the considerations here when you talk about, okay, let's take it the other way. Follow me. You will be rewarded. Picture 24. Go back to picture 24. Now look at that. Look at the guy there with 42 pounds. That's you at 70 or 80. 50 or 60, 45 to 60, that's you in the middle. First guy on the left, normal posture. That's you when you were married. That's you in your 20s. That's you out of high school. That's you when you didn't think about your health because you didn't have to because you owned it. When you move somebody from that guy on the extreme right back to the person on the extreme left, think of what you have to open up. It's a layered process, isn't it? Because, go back to picture two. Run back to picture two now. Hurry, hurry. Because what do you think it's going to take to break through all those layers of snot and grit and grime and emotion and chemical toxicity and scar tissue until you get into the place where you can move C1 on C2, where you can move the occiput on C1, where you can become that break dancer down low? Holistic medicine in this country should have a revival. But we're going to have the guts to start to call a spade a spade. It's really simple. Do what that guy at the bottom of the picture is doing. You're headed for a neck surgery, a fusion? Go and step into the long journey under supervision. Tell your orthopedic surgeon. Tell your neurosurgeon. You see this guy on the bottom? On this show, get the best physical therapist the money can buy, your insurance can buy, that the world can buy, and turn my neck before I go to the knife into that guy right there, that dancer. Get me there. And then listen to this show so you can learn how to integrate it, because you can do it. Rolf did it. Heller did it. Aston did it. Lots of people understand. Iyengar, Patavi Joyce, anybody that had the guts of holistic medicine understood could supervise a transformation. But unfortunately, what your most authentic holistic practitioners will face when they try to speak to the American public, what they fight are these poor attitudes, these improper perspectives that we've developed with relationship to holistic medicine. I am not talking about MD medicine. Do not think I'm talking about what we're fighting here in the holistic community are the attitudes of people that think Kaiser's going to deliver them their health. Let Kaiser do what Kaiser does. You know, Jesus, pay tribute to the Romans, give them their money, and get them out of your hair. Let them do what they do. I'm talking about holistic medicine. Holistic medicine, alternative medicine, chiropractors, naturopaths, acupuncturists, Pilates instructors, yoga instructors, massage therapists, shiatsu therapists, Rolfers, Heller workers. I'm talking about alternative holistic medicine cannot afford to have an American public that does not understand that the task is layered. How, of the hundreds of symptomologies that you can suffer from because your head is not on straight, that's not you. You bet. Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, brain tumors, and your head is shifted from that picture on the left to that guy on the right, and you don't think that's a part of it? Tinnitus, vertigo, eye problems, ear problems, nose problems, sleep apnea. And you don't think that that shift is affecting your health? You don't think that it's there? You're myopic enough to think that we have to publish study after study after study, ineptly designed, poorly put together, to prove or disprove that anterior head carriage will drive symptomology and disease. We need studies before you buy it. Man, I pray for you. Literally. Literally, I pray for you, if that's your naivete. All right, back to you who get it. Get this. Before you can do what that kid on the bottom does, before you can isolate, you have to move through lots of tissue. That's why you spend money on herbs. That is why you cleanse, because you have to get the grit out of all that spongy, gooey, snotty goop that we call layers of muscle, fascia, nerves. You've got to get the scarring out, the fibrin deposition out, the blood stasis out, the deposition of calcium hydroxyapatite, calcium oxalate, calcium phosphate, uric acid, lactic acid crystallization. You have to get the granular stuff out in between the intercellular space, or your connective tissues won't let go to the point where you can move and isolate bones. There's a reason that kid there is young. He's young because he's not been chemically poisoned yet, not at least to appreciable levels. So younger people tend to do this more easily, but that doesn't mean you at 70 or 80 can't. I'm looking for 80-year-olds who want a boogie. You see, we have a new America here, where when you're 60, you know how many people I know at 60 years old, divorced, alone, they're looking for second careers, they're looking for second relationships. Nobody today at 60 wants to sit on their duff, smoke a corncob pipe, and look for where they put their dentures. It's just not in the American mentality anymore. And it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Because when you're a mess, you're teaching your kids to be a mess. And those kids are teaching those kids to be a mess. And what we have is a very fractionated American public looking at anybody over 30 is over the hill. And that is the way people think. And nobody thinks more like this than Los Angeles. You see? You can't find enough money to get good supervision for your health. But the minute that skin sags, 15, 20 G's for the plastic surgery, no problem. 10, 15 G's for the boob job, no problem. Anything that has to do with your looks on the outside, you're going to find the money. Anything that has to do for your health on the inside, well, the government should pay. This is wrong. It costs too much money. It's got to be quick, easy, and not interfere with the flow of my day, or I'm not going to do it. If that's the way you look at health, forget it, because you will never have any. You are wasting your money. Better to spend $10 a year well than waste $2 and throw it in the toilet, because that's what you're doing if you have that attitude. I got to tell you the way it is. Hey, what do you think Trump is doing here? Trump is just shooting his mouth off and telling the world and the American people what everybody knows. He's not being politically correct. And that's why he's the Republican front runner. As crude as he is, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. His support reflects that part of us all that's sick and tired of wondering whether we've said the right thing. We're going to drown in that. And it's the same thing in medicine. And it's the same thing in holistic medicine. Okay, let's keep going. How dare I bring in politics? Picture number three. Those are muscles there. Muscles between your skull and the first cervical vertebra, and the second cervical vertebra. Can't see the two vertebrae, they're hiding behind the muscles. That's the suboccipital triangle there. I don't know if you can see on either side of it, it looks like a triangle, forget that though. That point's called gallbladder 20 in Chinese medicine. You want to get your fingers deep into that hole there. You see that muscle? You see that muscle at that sort of like oblique angle? Well, if you don't worry about it. But just if you stick your fingers right into what you think is a hole there, on either side, you see, that's where life changes. That point dead center on either side of that muscle group there, you're looking at picture number three, that's called gallbladder 20. Key point. The world changes if you get there. Now, why does it change? Okay, go to picture five. Isn't the anatomy important? If you're listening to the show without the anatomy and you can profit, then you are listening to my soul talk to your soul. Because how this can affect you without looking at the pictures is beyond me. And yet I know some of you do it. Good for you. You're using other senses to learn. Other senses to learn. Most people don't even have five senses working. Picture five. Now look at that. There's the spinal cord. That spinal cord is going out of your brain, down your neck, and in the center of the C1 vertebra. and the C2 vertebra and the C3 vertebra. And on top of that spinal cord is what? Picture six. On top of that spinal cord is dural tissue. Dural tissue. Thick connective tissue. That dural tissue surrounds your brain. That dural tissue surrounds the spinal cord. Look at picture eight. Picture eight, you're looking at someone's skull with the head taken off the top. That white membranous material there, that's the tentorium cerebelli. That's dural tissue. Look at picture number nine. That picture there, picture nine, that white, that's called the falx cerebrae. The falx cerebrae. That's the white, cellophane-like, thick, tight, dural tissue, meningeal tissue, that separates the hemispheres of the brain. So your brain is separated by it. Your brain sits on it, tentorium cerebellum. Picture seven, your brain is surrounded by it. The spinal cord is surrounded by it. And that spinal cord, through the cauda equina, is going all the way down into the sacrum. Your whole brain and spinal cord, all the way down to the sacrum, cauda equina included for you techs out there, is surrounded by this tissue. So, now go back to picture five. See, the only time you're allowed to take a Tylenol when you listen to my show, especially if you're new. Now look at that, picture five. What happens to the dural tissue around the spinal cord when the occiput, meaning your head bone that sits on top of C1 and C2, what happens to that dural tissue and the spinal cord when those bones move out of place? There. Now you're understanding what this show is about. 32 minutes into the show, now you're understanding what it's about. You don't have to know a thing about the human body to know if you're compressing your spinal cord, you're going to have problems. But you see, gang, it's not the spinal cord. If you talk to a neurologist, a neuroanatomist, they're going to say, what? This nut said something about compressing a spinal cord because the bones of the neck are off? We're not compressing the spinal cord. It's the dural tissue that we're putting tension into. And there lies the problem. Dural compression. How many double-blind placebo studies you can access in the National Institute of Health proving that dural compression is the source of multiple and many symptoms and diseases and chronic blah, 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 blah. How much double-blind placebo studies do you have to support this? Let me tell you something. If you have to wait for the National Institute of Health and some dumbo scientists to prove what you already know is true, you are a fool. You see how this is all the tragedies occur? How many people from 1940 to 1970 died, suffered, ended up tormented by the horror of cigarette smoke? How many thalidomide babies were born before, in fact, we realized that a sleeping medication was dangerous? How many people got sick from Vioxx? If you have to wait until science justifies what you can know just by taking a sniff, you are a fool. Now, that's not politically correct, is it? You know, it's not politically correct when people rot in hospital beds in pain because they have bad perspectives, because they want to be politically correct. Use your common sense. God gave you a soul to know truth. When you have to intercept that with this idiocy about double-blind placebo studies that the National Institutes, backed by the FDA and everybody else, says are true before you believe it, you are a fool. So get this science straight. Get this science straight. This science is telling you that there's a spinal cord going down the central canal of C1, C2, foramen magnum of the occiput into C1, into C2, all the way down. That spinal cord is coated by dural tissue. When you have subluxation, when you have tension in that system from trauma, when you have fibrosis developing up in those upper cervicals, you're going to twist. Cyriax, look them up. C-Y-R-I-A-X, orthopedic surgeon out of England. Cyriax showed the repercussions of having the dural tissue pull tight, so tight that it could flip nerves that exited the cord up 2 to 3 levels from the tension in the dural tissue. This is understood in science, but not double-blind placebo studies backed by the National Institute of Health. So understand there is very good science behind what I'm saying to you. And until you can isolate your stretch to separate those bones, you're not going to resolve these problems. And if you're suffering from tension in the upper cervical spine, deep to the cord level, which you are, if even your head has moved forward over 30 years, you are. So do not think this is not you. Then you're not going to get the electromagnetic power that comes out of your brain through the nervous system, particularly the vagus nerve that controls the chemistry of each and every organ. All this stuff about the autonomic nervous system, the vagus nerve, the parasympathetic neurological system controlling whether you use your herbs correctly. Why do you think herbs don't work half the time? Why do you think holistic medicine failed so often? Why do you think we just have such a division in medicine, with many people pointing to the failure and the poor outcomes of people who use nutrition? Because most of those people using nutrition do not have a nervous system working for them. If you have a problem with your health and you want to learn principle and you really want to devote yourself and you want to pay for it, because that is the American way. Pay if there's value involved. You see, that's empowering. You want the you want the Yugo? You want the Yugo? Remember the Yugo? Out of Yugoslavia, was it, right? Remember the Hyundai when the Koreans first launched it? Remember the Chevy Chevette? You want to pay for that? You're going to get that. But you want to pay for the Cadillac? You're going to get the Cadillac. Work for your health. Work for your health. Take real principle. Make it a foundational evolution. And that's how you get result. And I see people do this. I see people do miracles. Just spoke to a kid from Chicago the other day. Did a miracle on himself. Malaysia. Just had a woman from Malaysia leave here a few weeks ago. Did a miracle on herself. Australia. Some people just get it. They get it. And some people fight it. Who are you? If you're interested in health, ask yourself who you are and how you approach making your dinner. You can learn so much watching a person drive and make their dinner about how they're going to approach their healing. You don't come to a doctor for a service to give to you that you receive and pay for, and then it happens. You come to a doctor to engage in a journey, and you bring yourself to that journey. And if yourself cannot receive, if you're going to approach your healing in as poorly a fashion as you've approached your life, then you are never going to heal. And that's what we have to come to terms with as Americans. Your health is your attitude towards your life. And as you play out the tasks of healing, the coffee enemas and the gallbladder flushes and the stretching and the running and the weight loss and the this and the that, as you play that out, you're playing out your disease. You got to look at it that way. Now let's get back to the science. You're using those herbs to clean out the grit in those connective tissues, or you cannot free up the joints between the occiput and C1 between C1 and C2. You can't do that. So, you can't become that breakdancer. Now let's take a look at some of these muscles that you're working yourselves through. Let's take a look. Go to picture 12. There's the back of your neck. Now go to picture 4. There's the back of your neck gutted down, stripped out to the muscles that meet the bone. Now, let's go to picture 13. There's the front of your neck. Look at the layers of those muscles. Now, go to picture 14. We're going to picture hop. Look at the layers of those muscles of the neck. Look at that. Now go to picture 15. Now picture 15, on the left, you're looking at the more superficial muscles of the necks, of the neck. That's the sternocleidomastoid. Now look at the picture 15 on the right side of that picture where the black arrows are. Those are the scalenes. Picture 15 where the arrows are the scalenes. The scalenes in the front are the equivalent of, go back to picture 4, we're going to picture hop. The scalenes in the front are the equivalent of the deep splenius, whatever they are. The scalenes in the front are the equivalent of the deep spinal muscles in the back. Now go to picture 16. Now we're dividing those scalenes into the anterior, the middle, and the posterior scalenes. And at the end of each of those muscles is that white fiber stuff. That's connective tissue. That's tendon. Those tendons count. Those tendons are like taffy. Go to picture 12. Look at that white taffy. All the way superficially, picture 12. Look at that taffy, that white taffy. Now go back to picture 16. You're picture hopping now. Look at the end of the scalenes. On either end is that whitishness. That's taffy, meaning it's a very fibroelastic, sinewy, stringy, gooey connective tissue. Go all the way up to picture 4. Go all the way up to picture 4. That white fibrous thing down the center on picture 4. That's taffy. That's sinew. That's fascia. Go to picture number 1. That white connective tissue. Back of picture number 1. Look at the layering there. Now, take all of that layering and understand it's going to get tight. And then you're going to be picture number 24. That head's going to come forward. Or it's not going to come forward. It's all going to turn to a fibrous, elastic, blood stagnant mass that you call the head on your neck. Here's the problem. Go to picture 19. The vagus nerve. Finally, alas, the vagus nerve. Now you're looking at picture 19. See if you can enlarge that picture. If you've got a PC, take two fingers, put it in the square, and pull your fingers apart, because it'll enlarge the picture. Or press Control Plus. Now look at that vagus nerve. You're looking at someone from the side, and that vagus nerve is just in front of the first cervical vertebra. I don't know if you can actually tell that as well. But if you look at picture 12, excuse me, what am I saying? If you look at picture 19, go to picture 19. You're looking at someone from the side, that yellow line there, that's the vagus nerve. The minute your head starts to go forward, the minute you don't get isolation of the occiput to C1 to C2, the minute you fail to be the breakdancer or a reasonable facsimile, you start to push that connective tissue in a way that will compress the vagus nerve. You clench your jaw at night, that jaw goes back to hit the vagus nerve. Your head comes forward, anterior head carriage. You have a lot of stress, you have neck tension, you name it, that vagus nerve pays the price. That vagus nerve doesn't sit there like an open highway, it's wrapped tight in connective tissue. It's wrapped very, very, very tight in connective tissue. And once that happens, then your autonomic nervous system goes kerplunk. Go to picture 23. There's autonomic nervous system. Look at that. Picture 23. Sympathetic, parasympathetic nervous system. You out there who are putting boatloads of herbs down your body for good reasons, do not understand the real reason you're doing this. The reason you're doing this is to break up the grit so the neurological system can flow. That's the hookup. Otherwise, what's happening is you can't get vagal outflow. And the parasympathetic, so look at autonomic nervous system, go to the bottom where you see parasympathetic. Parasympathetic, sympathetic. Parasympathetic, sympathetic, bottom of that page. Once you lose the vagus nerve, you lose the parasympathetic flow. That means your cell cannot repair. Take your symptom. I don't care what your symptom is, what your health concern is, from you've got to cure your cancer to you want to live to 200 years old. I don't care what it is. If you do not live in parasympathetic flow, if you do not know how to isolate the upper cervicals, if you do not understand the freedom, the pleasure, the physical pleasure, the bliss pleasure of freeing up the upper cervical spine, then you will not utilize the electrical circuit that shuts the cell down so it has time to repair. You got to sit on that. You got to sit on that. And I know I won't stop talking this way because I am not satisfied with your understanding of it. I am not satisfied. You get a D for this. Maybe I get a D for failing to explain it well. But this is not understood. It's yeah, I get it. Now, how come I still have back pain? It's yeah, I get it. But how come I have toenail fungus? It's yeah, I get it. But how come I still have IBS? Lady, you've forgotten what it was like to relax. I don't feel stressed. Not me. You're in shock. You're in shock. You live in shock. And you don't know you're living in shock. You haven't relaxed in so long. You've forgotten what it's like to take a breath that feels good. And if you think you're going to heal your symptom that way, forget it. Isn't that bleak? Isn't that negative? Isn't that pessimistic? Isn't that dark? How could you tell someone to listen to this show? It's so depressing. And that's what we've done in America. It's depressing to know the truth. No, it's not depressing. It's liberating. It's optimism. It's euphoric. It's freeing. It's all the things that are good that make life worth living, to take that into yourself so you can do something about it. No, I don't want to do anything about it. I just want the government to pay the bill. Or somebody else. I just want something easy and simple. Yeah. You gave up. You're in God's hands. Give yourself to God. But if you want to do something about it and you're sincere about it, understand you've got to have principle. Principle here is, unless you really understand through your experience the dynamic of freeing up that electric field that comes out of your neck down into your organ systems, you are going to limit the effectiveness of all the nutrition that you do. That is the hookup. That's what I am vowed to after 25 years of playing around with herbs. and nutritional supplements. They're worth it. They're important. But if you don't get the understanding that you have to take that to clean out the connective tissue to then structurally manipulate correctly, you will not go the distance. Hail the almighty autonomic nervous system. If there's mystery in the body, it lives in the parasympathetics. Let's take a look at that vagus nerve, what we're talking about, okay? Let's talk about that vagus nerve. Go to picture 18. Vagus nerve, a mixed nerve. It carries motor messages to the pharyngeal, laryngeal, proprioceptive messages. It carries sensory messages from the lungs, aortic arch, blood pressure, back of tongue. The largest component of the vagus nerve consists of parasympathetic fibers which innervate the heart and the smooth muscle of visceral organs. Right? Our buddy there, our wonderful, wonderful man, Nick Gonzalez, passes away a month ago, right? Cardiac. Sudden cardiac arrest. Supposed to be in great health. I mean, I could be wrong. Nobody's really passing around the cause, but sudden cardiac arrest out of nowhere in someone that didn't eat poorly? You don't think that was stress? The vagus nerve didn't get flow. There's no such thing as you can relax, you can repair without vagus patency. That's why the chiropractors, the osteopaths are all so into this. Joseph Pilates was so into this. Look at picture 37. Look at picture 37. That's Joseph Pilates in his 60s or 70s. And he's doing an isolation like the breakdancer, an isolation to pull open the posterior cervical spine. I teach my clients to do this stretch all the time. I fail at it 90% of the time. And then every now and then somebody gets it on a Skype, long distance. It's just unbelievable. You can teach somebody for a year to do that, and they don't learn it. And you can teach someone over Skype in 10 minutes, and they get it. Doesn't matter if it takes you a year or a day or a month. Get it. What Pilates is doing there is pulling open the connections between the occiput C1 and C2. So that ultimately he can pull apart the bones between the occiput C1 and C2. Because if you do that, you stretch the dural tissue, and that has a massive release down the spine. And you have to know what a massive release of energy feels like down the spine. Last night, I slept 3 hours. Last night, I was with someone in bad shape. But I can come here to this show, to this room, and I can put together a show in 60 minutes off the top of my head that's this good, because I can pull my neck apart like Pilates is doing on that picture. And if I couldn't do that with the patient load I have, I would be dead. So the things I'm asking you to attach yourselves to, believe me, they're real. And it's not just me that understands it. But don't take the imposter, you see? Because unless you can get that explosion of warmth into your neck and down your spine and into your feet and back up, then you're not giving the true value of this a chance to work. And you have to take that into yourself. Because you see, the essences of all this stuff in holistic medicine are miraculous. They are nothing short of miraculous. But the way they're practiced is marginal. Because we're not telling enough truth. And I have doctors all over the United States that listen to this show that are telling more truth. Because, just like Donald Trump, somebody's got to basically say it. Or we're going to just get scared of a patient, a client, who wants to look at it and say, I'm not doing a coffee enema. What are you, nuts, Jack? Strap a strap to my head and pull backwards? My orthopedic surgeon told me not to move my neck or I could die. You see, we don't want to come up against that. And so we back down and we just give you a little pill or a little pat on the neck, a little interferential current, a little ultrasound, a little kiss, picture of the family, a thank you card. We remember your birthday. We go to marketing seminars and you get nothing. And we're drowning in it now. We're drowning in it. We will not stand what's coming down the pipe if in holistic levels we don't change. And what we're missing is the glory of it. This stuff works. Miracles happen. And the reason double-blind placebo studies don't show that is because nobody's part of double-blind placebo study that asks you to work hard. You see? We go out there and ask Fat Barney, the cab driver, to participate in a study to see whether turmeric lowered its cholesterol. That's what we do. That's absurd. We design studies that are stupid. See, when you read studies don't support this, it's because the studies that are designed are stupid. The people designing the studies, holistic people included, don't even know how to design a study to engage people whose autonomic nervous system can respond to the herb. You understand that? Can you get that? You could be driving a 16-wheeler in the middle of Montana right now, and I know some of you understand what I just said. If you don't have the Lord, or your version of the Lord, running through your spine, you cannot receive plant nutrition. And all these things are exercises to turn that on. You'll know it when you feel it. What is this voodoo this guy is talking about? This is voodoo. It's not voodoo. That flow, chi, prana, innate energy, universal intelligence, you name it, it's real. And it drives cure. And it allows the money you spend on these supplements to work. The ultimate interference field is a blockage in your soul. And you'll know when you're making a dent when you feel it. 714-850-1007, 714-850-1007. If you're lost in mayhem and ardently sincere about helping yourself, give us a call. Come on in. Have a nice week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.